and power. Jesus said to the church, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom, and the gates of hell will not be able to withstand your onslaught. The perfect and the true biblical stance of a Christian and of a church and a church family and a group of Christians is this. We're not hiding somewhere going like this while he's pounding on us. No, we're going forward. We're storming the gates of hell, and we're winning. Some years ago, this building over here came up, and there's people in this room that can testify that was a drug hangout, and immoral, sad things happened there. And the Lord said, I want you to get it, and I want Paris Christian Center to get it and have it and turn it into a recovery center. And every Thursday night at 6 p.m., bless God, blessed be God forevermore, we have that recovery meeting over there. And God took a place where drugs were dealt, and now what's dealt is an attack on the devil. And as Pastor Kelly says, I rebuke every dadgum drug dealer in this city. You're doomed and your time is short. And we just command, Lord, that every one of these drug dealers finds other ground somewhere else. It becomes unprofitable in Logan County to deal drugs and ruin little children's lives and ruin parents' lives that have little children. Amen? There's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake that comes in a church that just stands up right now like we've stood up for the last 2 years. The devil wants to mess with us. We'll mess with him right back. We'll get another recovery center. We'll get a bigger building. We'll feed more people. More people will be healed. More people will be saved. That's what God wants to do with you and I. Amen. Oh, thank you for coming. You're so welcome to be here. I want to read in one place out of the book of Job, chapter 42, verse 7 through 10, and in the New Living Translation. So, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word and help the essence and the power of your word come out right now to these that will hear and those that will hear by recording in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. It says in conclusion, see, Job has 42 chapters. And those 42 chapters defined the life of a man who couldn't be bought and he could not be brought down by the devil. And it says here at the end, some final things. Verse 7, after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, see, there were three supposed to be friends. And all during this terrible trial, they were became ridiculously hateful against Job. And they begin to say, this must have happened because of this or that, or you think you're too good. See, Job was a very powerful individual. He was the man on earth at that time that God chose to set Satan up for a defeat and a shame to show him God knows the end from the beginning. And after these 41 chapters of terrible trial where Job lost everything, everything that a person could want. He lost all of his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his honor. And people began to take cheap shots at Job. God was patient, so was Job all through that trial. Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. And tonight in this where we live right now, I want each and every one of you to know that your Redeemer lives. And he's not asleep. And he's not on vacay. He's here. And many times I watch things happen and pray for things. And when they come about, I realize he was working all the time. And I didn't even realize he was working. He's powerful. He cannot be defeated. And after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends, for you have not spoken accurately about me. So we've got to be careful what we say. The word says we will give an answer for every word that we speak. As my servant Job has, you have not been accurate speaking about me like Job was accurate. And then in verse 8, so God tells him, so take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you. I'm going to give you an opportunity to get double for your trouble tonight. How many of you have had some kind of trouble? We all have. God wants to give you double for your trouble, and I'm going to show you how. My servant Job is going to pray for you. And listen to this. And I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not accept your prayer. Prayer is too much of a mystery to the body of Christ. It should not be a mystery. We should understand how prayer works and our obligation to pray and pray with power and pray with accuracy. My servant Job is going to pray for you, and I will accept his prayer on your behalf. I will not treat you as you deserve, for you have not spoken accurately about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did as the Lord commanded them. And the Lord accepted Job's prayer. And in verse 10, when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored all of Job's fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You know, many times when we're going through all of the different kinds of trials that we can go through in this life, those trials, if we could just see and rest in the Lord, they are really, those setbacks are a setup for a blessing, a bigger blessing than ever before. I want to say to you, your church has received some of the most outstanding blessings and opportunities in the last 2 years. We came through it. We know our Redeemer lives. We know how he dealt with us. There's little Miss Helton back there. Millie and I were in line at McDonald's. It was a Wednesday night after church. And our phone rang, put it on speakerphone, and Melissa was crying, distraught. And she said, Brother Angelo, my house is burning. It's burning right now. And it looked terrible. Billy and I raced back to the church, got a hold of Pastor Kelly. And from that point, we began to see God do a supernatural blessing, a blessing. God gave you twice the house as you had before. I know the contractors. I'm pretty sure that electrical wiring is going to hold up this time. Amen? and it looks beautiful, and you love it. Am I saying too much to say that God gave you twice the house, Melissa?
God gave me four times the house.
Okay. Okay. One of the few things that didn't burn was a little bag, one of those storage bags, with some anointing cloths laid on the windowsill. The whole windowsill was melted and burnt. Everything was burnt around it. And not a hair on one of them anointing cloths was hurt. God's trying to tell you something. Don't be fooled about what you think you're seeing right now. You are on a verge of a breakthrough like you've never had before. There's a place in the Old Testament, the Bible says, when Satan is caught stealing from you, he has to give you either fourfold, as Melissa said, or sevenfold. And that's what's about to happen. And as we sing with faith, I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price. See, I'll be there at communion night. I'm going to be there. I'm going to give. I'm going to support my church. I'm going to feed people that have less than I have. I'll pay the price no matter what others do. I'll take the way of my Lord's anointed view. Because I started out with Jesus. Bless God. I'm going through. I'm going through. If you can stop me, devil, there ain't nothing between us but air. That's what I used to say. That's what I learned to say in Chicago on the street gangs. I said, hey, man, there ain't nothing between us but air. If you look at me, I've got scars on my face. I didn't get them in my crib. I carried a gun, and I faced people that carried guns. I've been shot at. I've been harassed by the police. But I'm telling you something. I have no doubt I'm going through. Christ in me is to live and not die and proclaim the goodness of God. Oh, we can be so excited about what God's just doing in this one little place. And there's other wonderful churches in our city, and God's working in many of them too. And we're going to work together like never before. And we're going to feed like never before. And we're going to make a mark like never before. You know, the key here is when Job prayed for his friends, then the Lord restored his fortunes. Now, I'm going to share this thought with you. And many times, I think looking back, I should have chose the latter as the former. The word says in the book of Romans, chapter 12, recompense no man evil for evil or railing for railing, but rather give place for God's wrath. Wait on God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Now there's one way that God sometimes won't repay. And it goes something like this. In the book of Matthew, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for your enemies. You know, I don't think you can have vengeance and double for your trouble at the same time. I think you can have one or the other. And tonight, in just a moment, when we make an altar, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray for the person in your life that has hurt you the most. And pray for the person that's hurt you second the most and third the most, whatever's on your heart. And if we do that, the word says this, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, refresh him. If we do that, and then God still chooses to let go of somebody a little bit or deal with them, well, then our hearts are clean. And our double for our trouble is for sure. It's a done deal. How many of you would like to have double of the things that Job had? He lived over 140 years after his trial. He got sons and daughters, some of the most beautiful three girls. One of them was named Jemima, like on the syrup bottle. And she was a knockout. And yes, he went through a terrible trial. But he also received double honor that he had before. Double wealth, double the children, double the peace, double the life. I can go on and on and on. And I'm believing that for every one of you here tonight that want to pray for your enemies. The word says this in Luke, love your enemies and do good to people that hate you. How many of you know you've got people that just totally just hate you? I've had people pull up to the front of this church and tell me, you know, I don't like you. I don't even know why. I just don't like you. But I've come here to ask you to forgive me because I've been talking about you. And I forgave that person. I prayed for him. And God gave me double for my trouble. You know, as Mary, the mother of Jesus, said at the wedding of Cana, whatever the Lord tells you to do, do it. The greatest thing that you could do for yourself and your family is to know what God's saying to you, things to do. I remember when we started Paris Christian Center and moved into we was down the street here, the Lord said, I want you to give up your, turn your union card in. I was a member of Local 29 Plumbers and Potfitters. And I wrestled with the Lord about that. I was on a fast in Russellville. And I said, well, Lord, just let me keep it. He said, no, I want you to give that back and tell them that you're through with them. Lord, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm not going to do that. Angelo, 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 you're a messenger of God. That's what your name means in the Greek. Why do you want to keep that card? I said, Lord, I want to keep that card in case this other thing don't work out. Hey, I'm just a man whose intentions are good, and there's no sense in lying about anything. I've learned about faith and built up my faith over the years, but I did what the Lord said. And I became Millie's gigolo. She had the job. I had the unemployment check, but we managed to get another building. Then we purchased this. And let me share another thing. Whatever he tells you, somebody grab this tonight. There's only a few of you here. I'm not going to guess who this is for. Do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. He told Millie and I to raise three children that weren't ours. You know what happened? The blessings just grew and grew and grew. You and I cannot outgive God. And I was amazed. I can remember at first, in 1987, when I would tithe, that was my health insurance. That was everything. We didn't have health insurance at first. That was everything. But you know what? Our children were not raised in the doctor's office. God took care of them. He became our insurance, the one, and everyone that was in disagreement with us, well, he took care of that. And he put us in a wealthy place. The Word of God in the King James language talks about a wealthy place that he wants to put each and every one of us. True forgiveness, the kind that I'm talking about, that gives you double for your trouble, See, that's not a sham thought. It's the truth. If you do what the word says, and this is what the kind of forgiveness that the Lord's talking about when we pray for our enemies, and specifically we ask God to give them mercy. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to get on your knees and ask God for mercy for the people that have hurt you most in your life. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But I'm going to ask you to do that. The word says, when we pray for our enemies, to pray as Jesus prayed. And this is what Jesus said. And you can pick somebody in your mind right now and say, Lord, I'm asking you to have mercy on this person. I don't hold anything against them. Please forgive them, Father, for they know not what they did. They didn't understand. I'm asking you, see, blessed are the merciful, Matthew chapter 5. For they shall receive mercy. You ever notice how that is? We have opportunities to show mercy, and we have opportunities to sweat it out and beg God for mercy. Amen? Has anybody ever needed mercy? Yes, we all have. Every one of us have. We've all needed mercy at times in our life. Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive them like that? Seven times? See, the Pharisees, a sect called the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they said to forgive three times. And Peter noticed that Jesus was generous. And he thought, well, Lord, how about twice as many times? What if I know that you're more forgiving than some of the religious leaders of our day. What's a good figure? Seven times? And Jesus said, Peter, seven times 70. And that word, that number seven there, it represents this idea. In another place, the word says this, if your enemy sins against you seven times in one day, and seven times says, I repent and I'm sorry, you need to forgive them. And seven times 70 means this here, that you walk around with a new heart. The word says in the Old Testament about Saul, I'm going to give you a new spirit. You're going to be a different person. And we begin to walk around just looking for somebody to forgive. And we practice and we learn what it means to forgive. Like we have been forgiven, like Jesus paid the price that his Father could forgive us. And we begin to walk in tremendous power. See, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Amen. I can tell you that right now. We are on the offensive. We are not waiting for the devil to take a slap at us. We've got seven or eight slaps we're going to put on him. We're going to take more of this city over for the Lord. We're going to make more friends with our brothers and sisters in different churches because we're on the same team. Amen? Amen. I'm preaching tonight. You can honestly have double for your trouble. The word says if you have trouble with a brother or sister, go to that person and work it out. Well, what does that mean? You just stay there and you guys work it out. You know how much power you get when you can walk in forgiveness? You know how much forgiveness you get when you can walk in forgiveness? I need forgiveness a lot, personally. Proverbs chapter 10 says this, hatred stirs the pot. Love covers every sin. Love, love. No, love is not a special way of feeling. It's a deliberate decision to forgive that person as Job prayed for and forgave those that came against him. The word says this in Proverbs chapter 9. A right spirit will cause you to overlook an offense. Sometimes I wake up and I feel like I'm just itching. I just want to be offended at somebody. Now, that's not good to say. But dear God, it is if I'm telling the truth and I'm going to get more forgiveness and more power and double for my trouble. Does anybody else ever wake up like that? I mean, is there one or two? You just wake up and say, I just can't wait. I'm going to give somebody what for. I don't know who, but I'm going to give it to somebody. When you can control that, the Word of God says, you are more mighty than a mighty warrior general that takes a walled city. If you can control yourself, if you can overlook an offense, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. I'm asking you to forgive them. Lord, I'm over it. I'm asking you, please. I'm asking for mercy for that person. I'm asking for mercy, God. Jesus said this to his disciples. By this shall everybody know that you came from me, that you have love for one another, that you can forbear one another, that you can overlook things, that you can forgive. Amen. Double blessings, double protection, years added to your life, double honor, double mercy, double consideration. What is the golden rule? I did learn this in Chicago. I don't remember where it was, probably some Easter, Christmas. They dragged me off to Sunday school or somewhere. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's easy to say. It's easy to remember. I have to confess to you, and I'm not proud of it. Sometimes I have trouble living that way. I'm going to ask you to make an altar right now.